We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith, and this is the quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And Dustin, grab your peanuts and popcorn, because baseball is back. That's right. This week they get back on the diamond. And while we may not be able to join them in the stadium, plenty of action to be had from the comfort of home. No better place to get in on that action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And to celebrate baseball coming back, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering free bets for every home run your team hits. Here's how you take advantage of this offer. All you have to do is place a pregame bet of at least $25 on your home team, and for every home run they hit in that game, you'll get $5 worth of free bets. I'm counting on the Mets hitting multiple home runs, Dustin. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code KSN when you sign up. And for a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code KSN to get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Dustin, it's quarter number four, and we are going to pick up with our roster review. Now, the way we're doing that this year is we're going in alphabetical order, and here's where we're going to start today. We are starting with Fred Hansert, redshirt junior. Currently, he's listed on the depth chart as second team behind Antonio Shelton. Second team means he's in the rotation, right, Dusty?
Oh, yeah, and it shouldn't come as a big surprise. You know, I think expectations were high. You know, I mentioned in the linebacker segment we did that Ellis Brooks was sort of a pivot point in recruiting at the linebacker position, where Fred Hansard, I think, was the same pivot point, where he was flipped from Florida, and Penn State had a lot of struggles getting to the finish line with defensive tackles prior to that. They haven't had the same kind of struggle since then. So, you know, the depth building up, you know, guys who are younger than Fred Hansard, he kind of helped blaze that trail in some ways. Formerly from New Jersey, he had that foot injury back in 2018 that, you know, if you take that out of the equation, where would he be then? You know, it sets him back health-wise, sets him back developmentally. But I think he's going to be – there's not going to be a whole lot of drop-off, I think, from Antonio Shelton to Fred Hansard when they do get a little deeper in the rotation at tackle. I think he's a guy who's probably still got more in the tank that we haven't seen yet, in part because his career got derailed relatively early because of that injury, and he made a nice comeback from it last year. I think we'll see more and more from him. A key player, you know, at the defensive tackle spots, it is so about so much more than just the starters there. Like, yeah, you know, PJ Mustipher and Antonio Shelton, you're rightfully looking for impact plays out of those guys, but you know, you have to rotate in and out often there, and having a nice second team there with Fred Hansard is a nice thing for Penn State. And I think that, like I said, I think not that people are sleeping on him per se, but your expectations started to get a little bit lower when he, you know, was taken out of the rotation before. But I think he's going to be a really good player for Penn State in 2020. And I think you'll see him do the same thing in 2021. I think he's a guy who's going to play some quality snaps now that is going to eventually emerge as a starter.
And you mentioned it, Dustin, when you get into the two deep at certain positions, you're almost a starter. You know, you're part of that regular rotation, which means you're going to get snaps. You're going to get that opportunity to show what you can do. And, you know, and if you excel, you're going to get more snaps. You're going to get a higher percentage. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that with Fred Hansert. He's in the rotation. It'll be interesting to see how he progresses this year. Now is kind of his time to step up if you, like you said, if he's completely healthy, let's see what he can do as part of the rotation. Next up on our list, and remember, we're going through this in alphabetical order. So after Fred Hanser, we go to Daquan Hardy. He's a redshirt freshman out of the Pittsburgh area. He's a fascinating recruit because, again, he's one of these Pennsylvania guys under the radar, not highly recruited. And if I recall correctly, he was a pretty late recruit. But if you watched him that year in the state high school playoffs, he was very impressive and really showed well. And there has been some talk about him around campus, and that coaches seem to be pretty excited about him.
Yeah, I think he's exactly what coaches want in a player. 5'9", 170 is what he runs, and that worked against him in the recruiting process. But there were definitely programs that saw through the lack of elite size to a player who, you know, in year one really established himself as a baller, just a true baller who was hungry for everything, who fought for everything, can help set that tone in the program, arrives with that chip on his shoulder because he was a really good player for Penn Hills. He came out of that area without an offer from Pitt, you know, and I think that maybe that's something that ends up making him hungry too. Just looking at his offer sheet though, it's not that he was that well-kept of a secret. Michigan, Michigan State, and Nebraska were among the teams that offered him a scholarship. He did choose Penn State. He did commit and sign on signing day, I believe. And, you know, they got a guy who cares? 5'9", that's fine. It might not fit the prototype of a cornerback, but guess what? You got guys in the NFL who are elite slot corners who have the same exact dimensions. So with Hardy, you know, he's a very good athlete. He's a very good football player. He's an aggressive guy. All those attributes mean so much more than 5'9". You know, Penn State has managed just fine and gotten the most out of corners who stand at 5'10" or shorter. Grant Haley, I think, is probably the example of that. John Reed was 5'10". Lamont Wade shifted from corner to safety at 5'9". Hardy isn't, I don't think, a candidate to make that transition like Wade did, because Wade has always been such a thick, compact, strong player. Hardy's a little bit more wiry, so I think he's a cornerback for the long haul. He's not Joey Porter Jr. or Marquise Wilson or Keaton Ellis, and he gets overshadowed by those guys. If you look at those four corners, all from the 2019 recruiting class, there's a good chance we look back and say how unbelievable that crop of corners really was. And Hardy is definitely part of that discussion. I don't know exactly where he fits in the depth chart just yet. I don't know whether he's mostly a special teamer in 2020. That would be my expectation, or what he can grow into. But I think he's going to be a guy who starts for a year or two at some point. Even if it's as like a number three corner, a slot corner, he's going to be part of that rotation in the future. And I think we're going to see more of him on special teams now. But don't be discouraged by the fact that he was a three-star recruit that didn't have a ton of traction. I think there are schools that saw what Penn State saw in him, and Penn State really started to see it even more last year.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is the kind of guy, when you watch tape of the high school players, sometimes it's hard to scout them, but certain guys, they just kind of stick out with that quickness, with that ability to make plays. And that's what I saw in Daquan Hardy. And it was enough to make me really excited to see him play. Even if it's just on special teams, I picture him at some point in his career making some special plays for this team with that quickness, like you said, despite the size. And it may be the first couple years it's on special teams that we notice him, but eventually I believe he'll be on the field also as a cornerback, and we'll see him play and do well.
Let me add one more thing there. So I think I think athletically he is a very good athlete, and that's great. But I think the willingness to fight, it's something that not all elite athletes have, Jim. And I think that's one thing that seems to separate Daquan Hardy in some respects. Like if you picture as a cornerback, there's a fight for the wide receiver to get off the line of scrimmage, whether you're impressed, whatever. There's also a fight when the ball's in the air, and sometimes There's a opportunities for a guy, let's say, who gives up the catch, but punches the ball out before the catch is official. You know what I mean? And there are two big opportunities to fight just in that respect. Two opportunities to fight that Daquan Hardy is going to fight harder than your average player. And I think that's something to really watch for and something that he's going to develop a reputation for.
And sometimes as an undersized player, that comes with that being the undersized, yeah. Always being that guy who's overlooked, probably from the time he was playing football in the backyard and they're picking teams. And, well, he's the little guy. He gets picked last, and he has a point to prove when he does get out on the field. All right, would like to see that. The last player we're going to talk about is Aeneas Hawkins. He's a redshirt sophomore. And I had to look at the depth chart to see this. He is actually, he's listed as fourth team on the depth chart spring. Now, that may have changed. He may have jumped up a bit. But is he kind of been the forgotten guy there at the tackle position?
Yeah, I think so. And I feel like, you know, Penn State not disclosing injuries. I think that Hawkins went through some injury stuff. And so that might have set him back some. I also didn't really take it as a knock on him, or I didn't take it as being official that he was a fourth teamer. I still have expectations that he's going to make something out of his career. He's going to make an impact in some way or another on that defensive tackle depth chart. He is in a position, though, that he's going to have to fight for it. And I think that 2020 is a pivotal year for him because there's so much depth developing behind him, your Devon Ellis, your Hakeem Beamans, you know, those guys. And there's more coming, Cole Brevard. There's more guys coming through at the defensive tackle spots that he's going to have to prove it. I think this is a year where he's going to have to make his move, or he's going to have to consider something else. You know, I still have faith in him as a player, but the reality is if he doesn't make his move now, I'm not sure he's going to get a chance to make his move. And this is the reality we've discussed before in other respects, like Damian Barber, for example. Last year was his year to make a move, and it didn't happen for him. He ultimately ended up transferring. It can happen with these older guys. And no matter what the reasoning is, if you are in year three and there's all kinds of young talent around you, the burden is on you to separate yourself and use that experience for good. That's the opportunity. That's the burden ahead for Aeneas Hawkins. He's got to get that job done soon.
And I think that's where the game has changed a bit. I mean, look, he's a redshirt sophomore. He has 3 years of eligibility, but it's his third year in the program. You've got to make a mark by that time. All right, Dustin, that is it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
Baseball is coming back next week. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's code KSN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.